Hey guys, it's Candace.
And it's Elena.
And you're listening to Cousins on Crime. Almost said, hey guys, it's me.
It's like, what? Me.
It's me. You who?
Like, don't you know who I am? I don't know. People say we sound alike, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, they wouldn't. Wait, are you Candace? Are you Elena? Who are you?
Guess who it is. How are you?
I'm good.
I just took a picture of Hank for everybody. Mm-hmm. I'm going to post it on our social meds. And yeah, he is in full, what is it?
Army
fatigues. There you go. I knew it was a word that shouldn't be associated with clothing, you know,
like why is it fatigue?
Like fatigues.
Like, but you shouldn't be fatigued if you're in the army.
Okay, why do they call it that? You know what? It's not something I need to know. I'm just going to move on.
Somebody might need to know.
You know,
it,
Daniel, if he was here, he would be Googling right now. I'm not that person. Yeah. I'm just like,
I just looked at my iPad and I'm like, do I?
You see, if Daniel was here, uh-huh, he'd be Googling and y'all would have like another 5-minute conversation about it.
Yeah.
And I'd absolutely be like, can we do something else?
Can we get on with the show?
Let's get on with it. Me and Lena are tailgating right now, by mm-hmm the way. Oh, how are you doing? How was your... Wait, it's not Monday. I almost said, how was your Monday?
It's the Mondayest Tuesday ever.
Tuesday is Monday's ugly stepsister. Okay?
Okay, so...
Nobody wants her.
I will tell you, I'm trying to stay positive.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't
we all?
Yeah. Our dryer will not dry.
Stop.
It's like not getting hot. So it's got to be we cleaned out the lint and all that, yeah, from the duct and all that, but it's still not getting hot. And so I'm sure it's the heating element.
Mm-hmm.
So we ordered that. And, you know, I'm just going to say that's one thing I like about being an adult is just figuring things out. And I...
You're like, you know what? It's the heating element.
It's, yeah. And I'm going to change it myself. Well, Chris is going to do it, but we're going to do it together and we're going to learn.
I was just thinking before I came over here, I can't believe y'all fixed your air conditioning by yourself.
Yeah.
It's like,
that was the last time you were here.
Yeah. Oh. The last time I was here, the air conditioning was on the fritz. Yeah. And Chris was like, yeah, I think it's this compressor TX1W542. I'm going to go get that part. That's how he talks.
And it was fixed before you left.
And it was, and then suddenly the air cameth. And it was amazing. Yeah, I was just thinking about you resourceful bunch over here.
We're trying, okay?
I mean, you got to,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Yeah.
We're all just trying to make it out here.
Yeah. We've been in this house for 15 years, so, I mean,
mm-hmm,
homeowner stuff.
See, like, that's not what I would have done. I would have bought a new dryer.
Well, and I thought about it, but I was like, you know what? No, I'm going to be an adult, I'm going to figure this out. So
there you go.
Yeah.
We used to have, what's that service? Like, it's like Home Shield, American,
yeah,
Home Shield. We used to have that, and it was nice because... You know,
they send out a tech.
Yeah, they send out somebody. It was like $75 for them to come fix whatever it was. But most of the time, it was like, yeah, it's the motherboard. And we don't cover that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need a new one. And we don't do stuff like that.
So I paid you $75, right, to tell me to go buy another.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, it's cool when you can figure it out. I have a tech guy at my house. So he figures out my stuff.
He's pretty smart, I'd say.
Yeah, he's...
Trash can.
Oh, okay. Thought that was a bomb. Jeez, I'm very skittish these days. Like,
really?
Planes coming out of the sky.
Planes, trains.
Planes, trains.
Automobiles.
Seriously. had a dream about a plane crash the other day. Okay, let's not talk about this because I don't, if people are afraid of flying, like.
That could have been from your previous episode.
You're right. Could have been.
It was in your makes subconscious.
Sense. Yep. Makes sense.
Okay.
Okay. So shall we pivot?
Pivot.
Oh, what a great episode. All right. Well, let's just, the case I have for you today is an interesting one because not everything is what it seems. In fact, we don't see cases that play out like this very often because nothing in this case is what it seems.
Oh,
are you hooked?
I'm like,
are you on the edge of your seat? Okay. So on the morning of June 7th, 2004, Alonza Dennis woke up and he went to greet his 2-year-old son. The baby's mother, 22-year-old Tashika Askins, Alonza's ex-girlfriend, was supposed to come pick up their son the night before. I think. We'll get into that.
Oh, okay.
But she never came by to get him. He tried to reach her on the phone, but she didn't answer his multiple calls in the hours that he had been trying to get a hold of her. So he called her best friend, Danielle, to see if maybe she was over there. And she wasn't.
Hmm.
He's like, well, maybe she's overslept. So he gets the baby packed up, gets in his car. As he pulled into Taishika's apartment complex, he saw her car there.
Hmm.
He thought it was odd. Because their son was her whole entire universe. I mean, it wouldn't have been like her to just not pick him up and not call.
Yeah.
So by now, it was 1 p.m, and he had approached the door to knock. Teresa Slakem, Taishika's neighbor, took notice that he was there. She knew Taishika and Alonza's history, so she wasn't, like, worried, but she was like, oh, better gonna eavesdrop, you know, just kind of check this out. And she kind of stands by. Not a full minute later, she hears him screaming. Oh, no, 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 no. Just screaming.
Oh, no.
Taishika was in her apartment, but there was a reason she hadn't been answering any of his calls. She was laying lifeless on the floor with a pillow over her face.
What?
He immediately called 911 and he was crying. He was begging the dispatcher, please hurry, someone come hurry, please get over here. But he didn't know where to tell them to come. Oh. Like, he knew how to get there,
but he didn't have an address.
You know when you know how to get someplace, but you don't know the address?
Sure.
And he didn't even know the name of the apartment complex.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, they're like, where are we going? And he's like, what's this place called? He's like shouting out to people who are starting to gather now.
Figure out what the breezeway. Chaos is.
Exactly. Ugh. Now, when police arrived on scene, they found Taishika laying just inside of her bedroom on the floor. There was some blood on the carpet next to her body. Prosecutor Michelle Barnes attended the scene. When she got word that there was a homicide, I always think this is really interesting. When, I mean, imagine you're a prosecutor sitting at your desk. You've just had a salad. You've got a couple of, you know, motions to serve.
Okay.
And you get a call. There's been a homicide. So you're like, okay, just going to go over there. I think that's so vital. Like when they can attend the scene themselves.
Right. See it for their, you know, with their own eyes. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So she came and she was taking inventory of everything, looking at what she could see. And then Taishika's mom got word from Alonza's sister that her daughter was dead.
Oh.
Now, everyone was finding out about this murder, you know. Small group of neighbors, like I said, started to form outside of Taishika's apartment. They're just huddling together in disbelief. They have no idea what's going on. Taishika had been living in this apartment in Cambridge, Maryland with her 2-year-old son since her and Alonza broke up. They had been together since they were 16.
Oh, wow. A long history.
Yeah. So her mom, Diane Green, told the host of True Conviction, Anasiga Nicolazzi, that Alonza really became part of their family once they started dating. I mean, they were so young. You think about when you're young and you have a boyfriend and he's just like always over and having dinner because that's really all y'all can do.
Right.
You can't go in each other's rooms. So you have to have dinner with everybody and your family just gets to know them.
Right. That's how it should
be. Yeah. And she said he was just like a son to her. At 20 years old, Taishika found out she was up the duff, as mm-hmm. they say in England. She was pregnant while studying to become a nurse's aide. She wasn't going to let that stop her, though. Are you kidding me?
Good for her.
She wanted a career in the nursing field. She was really excited, which was what she wanted to do since she was a teenager. And she thought, why can't I have both?
Yeah.
Why can't I get an education and have a family?
She had goals. That's yeah. awesome.
And she was raised by a single mother who did it all on her own. So she was like,
she did it.
I've seen it done in worse circumstances, so I can do it.
I love it.
I know. So Taishika and Alonza moved in together while she was working and finishing her schooling. But the couple had some rocky times. Alonza had been unfaithful during the relationship. And this last time that he cheated on her, turns out he got another girl pregnant.
Oh, no. Not one of those.
Yeah. And this mess was not something she wanted to be involved in. She's like, okay, no, I don't want any part of this.
Yeah.
So she was a good mama. She didn't punish her son for the sins of his father. So she and Alonza remained cordial. They came to an agreement. He got the baby every other weekend. And that schedule was working out for them. And things seemed to be pretty good for the ex-lovers. So who would have done this to her? I mean, she got along with her ex, and her family certainly didn't have any clue as to any enemies she may have had.
Hmm.
Taishika had been beaten and strangled with that pillow over her face. Someone didn't want to see what they had done.
Yeah, that seems a little personal.
Yeah, and with no signs of a break-in, and given the manner in which she was murdered, police believed this was somebody she knew.
Oh, no.
Yeah, very intimate murder.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about the scene. The apartment overall was pretty tidy, but her bedroom was in complete disarray. Mm. Items that were on the dresser had now been scattered all over the floor. Her curtains were ripped off the walls. A very clear shoe impression had like a scuff on her dresser.
Oh.
From where it looked like somebody had kicked it.
Okay.
Or maybe put their foot up on the dresser.
Oh.
And as I said, the rest of the apartment was tidy with everything in its place. And that's because Taishika was very organized. She kept a pristine home, which is how they knew that the attack started and ended in the bedroom.
Hmm.
And which is why something else stood out to them as they looked at the rest of the apartment. Her kitchen was spotless. All the countertops had been wiped down. There were no dishes in the sink. And there was a dishcloth neatly hanging over the kitchen faucet to dry.
Oh, okay.
Next to the sink, however, was a Tropicana orange juice carton that had been left sitting out with the lid on the floor.
Oh, she would not have done that.
No. Her best friend Danielle positively cringed and was like, Taishika would never. She would never leave that out. She wouldn't even drink from the carton. No.
Uh-huh. So where's the glass that she would have used
exactly.
and all that?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So investigators knew that this was a very important piece of evidence because mm-hmm. she's not the one who left that out.
Mm-hmm.
She's not the one who last drank from it.
This is thinking outside the box, guys.
Right. And this is the nail in the coffin for whoever did this to her. So investigators knew that Taishika and her mom went shopping the day before her murder. So she could buy her mom a cell phone.
Oh.
Isn't that cute? It was her mom's birthday. She didn't have a cell phone. This is 2004.
Yeah.
I got my cell phone when I was in 2003 and I thought I was some hot stuff.
Oh, yeah. Like a Nokia, yeah. One of those little tiny.
But leave it to the parents to be 1 year later, you know. After shopping, Taishika went over to her friend Danielle's house, her best friend in the whole wide world, and hung out for a bit. They just watched TV, lazed around, you know, what you do at your best friend's house. You do nothing.
Yeah.
You just hang around, watch TV. And so Taishika was like, you know what? I'm going to go home. I'm going to grab some Chinese food. and just chill before I go pick up my baby boy.
Mm-hmm.
The way both Danielle and Alonzo explain it, it kind of sounded to me like Tysheka was going to pick up the baby late that night.
Oh.
So this is why I said I'm not sure if she was picking up the baby that night.
Okay.
Or the next morning.
Okay.
But either way, she was going to go back to her apartment, eat her Chinese food, and then go get her son, whether that was really late that night or the next morning. I even heard in an interview that Alonza said she was meant to come about 12:30. But again, 12:30 at night or 12:30 the next day?
Well,
it's like, I don't know.
I mean, you would think 12:30 in the afternoon, not at midnight.
Well, you would think, but the way they made it sound was like she was going to go eat and grab her son and then go home.
Yeah, I would assume he's showing up at her apartment at, you said, like one in the afternoon, that she was supposed to be there.
Yeah, it makes total sense. Like, and it makes sense that she would have one more night to herself.
Yeah.
And then go get the child. The coroner estimated her time of death somewhere between that night and the wee hours of the following morning. So whenever she was going to pick him up doesn't help us here.
Right.
Do you see what
okay,
I mean?
Right.
That's why I'm always all about the details. I want to know everything because it could help, but in this case it doesn't.
Well, and also just a little side note, if she's supposed to be there at 12:30 in the afternoon and he's going to her apartment at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, like what alarmed him that she wasn't there picking up within 30 minutes to an hour?
Well, that's what it makes me think she was going that night. Because she told Danielle, I'm going to go get Chinese food, go pick him up. And so it was like, and she left Danielle's at like 10:30 that night. So
okay.
I don't know if it was normal for them to exchange the baby. Maybe he was asleep and it was easier to do it like while he's asleep.
Okay.
I don't know. Whatever works for you guys.
True, okay? I am.
But anyhow, at the top of the investigator's suspect list, care to take a guess, Lena?
Alonza.
It was her ex, Alonza. He's the most obvious place to start.
Yeah, I mean, that's where anybody would start.
Right, and they had recently broke up before this.
Mm-hmm.
And how many times do we see a person who actually committed the crime just happens upon the victim?
Right.
So detectives thought, you know, let's re-listen to that 911 call. They just thought it just sounded fake. Like his
no.
tears seemed fake, seemed rehearsed. Thought it was weird that he didn't know where he was. Like he didn't know.
Okay, that is a little weird.
Okay.
But
I totally, like, I know how to get places, but I don't know necessarily.
Right. There are those situations, but also whenever you're in a state of panic and you're like,
you can't think.
Yeah.
You can't think. So yeah, I mean, have some grace. But anyway, they thought it was weird.
They put it in their minds that
right,
this was
exactly.
Yeah.
And then there was their recent split because of the cheating.
Mm.
He had this other baby on the way, apparently, and they had a child together. So this was a mess.
Yeah, there was already trouble in paradise.
Tangled webs.
Yeah.
Maybe things weren't as friendly as he said they were between the two. Well, they brought Alonza in for questioning. While they're talking to him, he seemed very upset. I mean, he would turn it off at times, though, almost like he was trying to cry and trying to keep crying, but then he would just kind of like relax and speak normally.
Okay.
He told investigators that Tysheka was supposed to pick up their son. When she didn't arrive, he got worried.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's unclear from our research whether she was supposed to pick him up the night or the morning or the afternoon.
Okay.
Either way, she never showed up. And he was worried. So you're right, Lena. It was probably some period of time.
Yeah, I don't think 30 minutes late would send him into a frenzy like that.
So they had lifted a lot of prints from the crime scene. They had collected what they believed was DNA from that orange juice container.
Mm-hmm.
So they asked him for fingerprints and DNA, and he willingly submitted them.
Yeah, here you go.
Yeah, I mean, I would too. If you've got nothing to hide.
Sure, yeah.
They also got DNA from under Tysheka's fingernails.
Okay.
That was another big one. And on her shirt. So while DNA would obviously take some time to get analyzed, the fingerprints were a lot quicker to compare. Just one problem, though. The prints found on the OJ container were not a match to Alonza Dennis.
Oh, you don't say.
They were confused as to why the prints didn't match. But that doesn't mean he didn't kill her. Okay, that just means that maybe they lifted someone else's prints from the orange juice container. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Like maybe just by happenstance, they got someone else's prints. And,
circumstances.
Right. They still thought, you're looking like our dude. With nothing more to hold him on, though, they had to let him go.
Right.
Let him go home. I mean, I cringe when people are let go.
Yeah.
No. In fact, I'm working on a case right now where they let him go and it was the worst thing that could have ever happened.
And it's like you're watching the movie and you're like, don't do it.
He's walking out the door. But what else can they do?
Yeah.
They can't just make up charges. They can't make up evidence.
Well, it depends who you are. Some people do make up charges. Well,
so when they're doing their investigation, trying to figure out what happened to Tashika, they're canvassing her neighbors. One of the neighbors said that they saw a tan or beige car in the apartment complex that night where they believed the woman standing next to the car was Tashika and she was talking to a male. They couldn't see, they couldn't identify the person. And then another neighbor said in another interview that she heard hollering around the same time that this other person put Tashika in the parking lot next to the car.
Okay.
So they're starting to put things together. Now they're looking for a tan car. While police were chasing leads, they get a phone call from Alonza's sister saying that she just found a very frightening note in the baby's diaper bag.
Oh, what?
It read, "Dear bitch, you are going to get it. You're dumb ass. I'm going to take everything you have. When I see, I going to whip your ass for f***ing with my girl.
Oh.
You will die. This I promise. Not just a threat, you stupid bitch." Stupid is spelled S-T-U-P-I-E-D.
Okay.
"You will get yours. Your friend, Q."
Q.
"P.S. I will fuck you up, pretty bitch."
Okay.
With four exclamations.
Wow.
It was alarming for sure, but police sent the letter off for analysis to see if we, you know, if they could lift any prints. I mean, it was just a note.
Yeah.
It wasn't an envelope, no licked, you know, no DNA or
anything.
In
the diaper bag.
In the diaper bag. They couldn't find any prints. There was nothing. I mean, it was clean. Alonza's sister didn't know any person named Q. Alonza didn't know anybody named Q. And Tashika's family couldn't think of anybody named Q. They interviewed lots of people with the name Q, and it just, there was just no connection. So they confronted Alonza's sister and said, "You've had this child in your care since Tashika was murdered," which at this point had been like 4 days or something.
Okay.
And they're like, "Yet you're just finding this note. Like, you expect us to believe that you've been in and out of this diaper bag, getting diapers, bottles, whatever, changing the baby, clothes and everything, and you're just seeing a note that was in there this whole time?"
That's not shocking to me because, I mean, what if she had her own supplies where she didn't have to get into the diaper bag?
Well, that's true. And she may not have gotten into this particular compartment.
Right.
This pocket. Okay. There's like 7,000 pockets
in a diaper bag.
thank you for that, by the way. So it seems like they're thinking that she authored this note.
Oh, my goodness.
To draw attention away from her brother.
Oh, no.
But actually, it really made things look worse for him.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Alonza, like, can you spell stupid for me?
Well, it was a typed note.
Oh, a typed?
It was typed, yes. Which is all the more reason why they felt like it was a total fake.
Yeah.
So they asked if they could take a look around Alonza's place to see if they could find any more threatening notes. And of course, they didn't. But they did find blood. Not a ton, but in a few different places. There was some clothes he had in the bathroom drains. They lifted some blood. A pair of his socks. So someone had called in a tip that Alonzo had scratches all over him.
Oh.
And investigators went straight over there to speak with him again.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And so he had this really deep cut on his knuckles. He had scratches all over his arms, on his torso, on his back.
Oh, this is not looking good.
Right. He claimed that it was from rough sex with his girlfriend.
Okay.
His new girlfriend, Janelle. Well, when asked about it, Janelle was like, I don't remember sex being off the chain that kind of wild that night. Like, I don't remember scratching him up and stuff. Mm. So with all these circumstantial pieces forming a picture that looks a heck of a lot like Alonza.
Okay.
They just needed a few more bits to slap some bracelets on this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And after questioning those closest to Alonza, they'd get exactly what they needed.
Oh, really?
So after speaking to Janelle, Alonza's new boo, she said they went to sleep together. And when she woke up the next morning, about 4 o'clock in the morning, he was still there. But because she was asleep all night, she couldn't be sure that he didn't leave at some point.
Mm.
So they brought Alonza in for questioning a third time. And they gave him a polygraph, which he willingly participated in.
Okay.
He failed miserably.
Really?
Yeah.
Which, I mean, polygraph.
I know. It's a polygraph. Uh-huh. You know, it's a polygraph. Poly want a cracker. I don't know. right. Like, polygraph. But the purpose of it is to gauge the individual. Are we on the right track here? Mm-hmm. What are they showing deception about? And then that can inform your questioning moving forward.
Okay.
And so when they see that he's lying to them, they're like, just tell us what you were up to that night. Like,
yeah.
Be straight. He first said that he was with Janelle. First, he said he was with her all night.
Okay.
Then he said, well, okay, so I did switch cars with my cousin to go see another girl.
Oh. Uh-oh.
Yes. Alonza was cheating on Janelle, too.
Come on, guy.
Alonza. He never mentioned leaving Janelle's house for any amount of time the first time or the second time he was questioned. But now he's failed this polygraph, so he's got to pony up.
Mm-hmm.
Tell something true. And that omission looked like a lie.
Well,
as it does to investigators. Mm-hmm. If you leave something out, you're lying. You know, it's that
what
simple.
Else are you lying about?
Right. So he did switch cars with his cousin. It's always a cousin, isn't it? It's always a cousin that's going to let you borrow their car so you can go cheat on your girlfriend.
They really were cousins on crime.
They were cousins on crime. So he did switch cars so he could go to this girl's house. I'm guessing so nobody would see his car at this new girl's house. Maybe it was on a main road. I don't know. Guess what color his cousin's car was, Lena?
Beige.
Beige or tan. Tannish beige. Beige-ish gold. Beige-ish
beige.
Beige. Beige. The same sort of color of car that was spotted at the apartment complex that night, parked right next to Taishika herself. With that, a grand jury heard all the evidence, circumstantial as it may have been, and thought, you know, they didn't have the DNA results back. They were confident they had enough for an indictment. So Alonza Dennis was arrested and charged with first degree murder.
Wow.
Taishika's family was gobsmacked, to say the very least. I mean, they couldn't believe this could be true. And when I say they couldn't believe it, Taishika's mom didn't believe it, so much so that she would take their son up to see Alonza in prison. After he was arrested, she would take Taishika's and his son up there.
Bless her heart.
To visit him. She could not bear the thought that someone who'd been like her own flesh and blood would have taken her only child.
Right.
Off
or
of
his
earth.
Son's mother.
Right. His baby's mother. And that just gives you a little bit of insight into Taishika and her family. They were just pure and loyal And even though they were getting a barrage of information from the investigators that was looking really bad for him, they just couldn't believe it.
Wow. Ugh.
The DNA results finally came back.
Okay.
It was not Alonza's DNA.
Really?
Whoever opened those results must have just dropped the packet or, I don't know.
Wanted to throw up.
Or just was like, what? I mean, I can't imagine what goes through your head when you're just like, okay, we just need this confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
This is just sealing the deal. And then it's not a match. And you're like, how?
Mm-hmm.
Walks like a duck, talks like a duck.
But it didn't
quack. But it's a horse.
Like a,
I mean, it didn't match. They had no choice but to drop the charges against him. And I'm impressed. It's sad that I'm impressed that they did the right thing.
Right. I
mean, we've seen it go the other way. We've seen people double down.
Yeah, they're like, no, I'm right, and this right. is happening.
And they will ride that pony
yeah.
all the way to court.
Yeah.
All the way through a trial.
That has happened so many times.
So many times. They'll get a hung jury, and then they'll go to a second trial. I mean, they get their teeth into something, and they can't let go.
Mm-hmm.
So, not here. Not okay. here. These investigators thought, we got it wrong. We Kudos. Have to start over. They had done so much work. Mm-hmm. They had collected so much evidence, so many eyewitness testimonies, canvassed the neighborhood. I mean, I can't imagine what it feels like
to not have an end.
To be like, we have to start over.
Yeah.
All over.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but at least all this evidence that they've kept will help in the next.
That's it. That's it. And don't get me wrong. Her family was happy that it wasn't Alonza. Oh, they believed yeah. it wasn't, but they were a bit deflated because they're like, well, who the crap was it then?
You still want justice.
I mean, you think that should be her worst enemy, you know, and it wasn't even her enemy.
Yeah.
And you just think, who could have ever done this that knew her?
Yeah.
All the evidence, like you said, was collected. And it remained the same. They had nothing new to go on, though.
Mm-hmm.
And police still believed that it was someone she knew. I can't imagine looking around thinking, who among us?
I mean,
who among us?
I would double down on the Q.
Well, yeah.
Signature.
That's the thing is, like, they probably did take another look at that note and think, yeah. where do we go from here?
Yeah.
The answer is they had nowhere to go. From there.
So they had DNA results, but it didn't match to anybody. Did
it
they put?
It didn't match to him. Yeah, it didn't match.
To him. Okay.
To him.
But so at this time, CODIS.
I'm not sure if they put it in CODIS at that time. They were doing a direct comparison. So
right.
I think we think about DNA like, okay, they have the DNA results. Who was it?
Yeah, this is going to tell us exactly who it
exactly.
is. Yeah, that doesn't happen.
They prefer a direct comparison, then they upload it to CODIS mm-hmm. and see if they get any hits.
Yeah.
But whether they did or not, I'm unsure. All they knew at that time was that it wasn't him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, months went by. No new leads, no new evidence, nothing. Then a year passed and something wild happened.
Okay.
There was an alert on those fingerprints that were found at the crime scene.
Okay, do
yeah,
tell.
Those prints were flagged. Someone was applying for a job at the post office.
Oh?
And as part of the application process, he had to submit fingerprints.
No way.
Oh my goodness. Oh my God. When police heard this, they nearly peed their pants.
Oh yeah.
That they had got... This person this way.
Wow.
It was a guy named Richard Blanks. And they're like, who?
Okay.
So finding him wasn't hard. They did find out pretty quickly that Richard's baby's mother, Lisa Pender, worked with Taishika. So they kind of put that together before they brought him in for questioning.
Okay, so there is a connection.
Right, so there was a connection, but they just thought that still doesn't, like,
yeah,
that still doesn't make sense. But he admitted to knowing Tysheka. He said, yeah, you know, my baby's mom works with her and I've met her a bunch of times. But he denied ever being at her apartment.
Well,
he's like, I've never been to her apartment, but, you know, I've seen her around, whatever. He also said that he and Lisa were not together anymore because she had been cheating on him. So,
oh,
there was that. And with that, they asked for a DNA sample. And he was like, no, I'm not doing that.
Oh,
no.
Oh, well,
I won't be doing that.
You're looking a little don't more trust guilty. The stuff.
Yeah. Don't trust it. You're going to clone me and make me clean your house. I don't know. which I would totally do if I had the capability. I would clone somebody. I would clone myself, actually. Well, they had already gotten a warrant for his DNA. So
he could protest too much.
But they were going to take his swab anyhow.
Anyways.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He was mad.
Mm-hmm.
He turned into, they said that he turned like into a different person.
Oh my gosh. He was angry.
So mad. He protested, but he gave it over. Again, the results would take some time.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to let him go.
Uh-oh.
But they knew his prints matched the OJ carton. So they put a tail on him. They're like, we know he was there.
Can't let him go. Yeah.
He was at the scene. We just don't know what his involvement was at this point.
Man.
So they surveilled him 24/7 just to make sure he didn't skip town. They were sure hoping that Lisa Pender, his ex-girlfriend and mother of his child, would give them something to go on, because it seems like if there is a link there between him and Tysheka, I mean, she's the link.
Right.
Right? So, but she wouldn't talk.
Mm-hmm.
She wouldn't talk to police. Not sure if she was advised not to or if she chose not to.
Okay.
But she was cheating on Richard. That was found out. And her new boyfriend was willing to talk to police.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He said Richard was absolutely enraged about Lisa's infidelity and threatened to kill him.
Okay.
Okay. This guy was married. This guy was married. Oh. Yeah. Everybody's cheating on everybody. Okay.
What is Marilyn doing?
So Richard threatened to rape and kill this guy's wife and slit her throat.
What? What? This guy needs to be off the streets. Like,
who says something like that?
Nobody, unless you're just in...
That is next level.
Yeah, I think he's serious.
Yeah, I think he's serious too. Anyway.
Whoa.
Those were some serious threats. But Lisa and this guy, don't know his name, kept sneaking around.
Oh.
Yeah. The guy...
I would have ran, like...
I know. Well, she's tangled in a web with him. She's got a child with him. So this guy, no name, said that he and Lisa were out the night that Tysheka was murdered. And Richard called Lisa over and over and over and over again. I mean, one after the other. Mm. She wouldn't answer. He was so angry. He was trying to locate her, see where she was. Shortly after speaking to this guy, the DNA test results were in. It was a match for Tysheka's and Richard Blank's DNA.
Oh.
It was a mixture. It was found under her fingernails, the OJ container, and her t-shirt.
Yeah, he's not getting away from this one.
No. Which, can I just say, he's just strangled someone.
Yeah.
He's just strangled someone, and he's like, I'm thirsty. And he goes to the refrigerator and takes out orange juice, drinks it, and sits it on the counter and leaves as if he's...
He was so unbothered.
Unfazed. Just...
Like, it makes you wonder, has he done this before?
Right. Well, you should see his mugshot. I'll post it on our Patreon. It's just... Ugh. September 27th, 2005, Richard was arrested and charged with first-degree murder.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at trial, prosecutor Barnes told the jury how Richard wanted to know where Lisa was that night, June 7th, 2004, and who she was with, so much so that he set out to find out on his own. He got in his car. He started driving around from place to place where he thought she might be, including her friend Taishika's apartment.
Okay.
When he knocked on the door, Taishika opened the door and he confronted her. Where is Lisa? She either wouldn't tell him or she didn't know what to tell him.
Right.
And he became so incensed that she feared for her life and ran back to her bedroom. He followed her back there where he attacked her.
Oh, no.
For the next 3 to 5 minutes, he strangled her until she was dead. 3 to 5 minutes is how long it takes to strangle someone to death.
Mm.
Plenty of time to stop what you're doing, but he didn't stop.
Mm-hmm.
The jury heard from Richard's dad, actually, who told the court that his son called him June 7th, 2004, the day of the murder, and asked if he could come stay with him for a little while due to some problems he was having with his girlfriend.
Okay.
His dad said that Richard showed up at his home a week later with bags of clothes and stayed until Labor Day.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
That's not the only Mr. Blanks that they heard from that day in court, though, because Richard himself decided to take the stand
in his own defense. Oh, my goodness.
And what a defense it would be. I almost even don't want to repeat some of the stuff that he said. He told the court that he and Taishika were hooking up.
Mm. Oh,
That's why his prints were at her place. That's why his DNA was on the orange juice. And that's why his DNA was under her fingernails.
No.
No.
You wish, buddy.
Danielle, her best friend, said she wouldn't have looked twice at him.
Oh, I bet that made him mad.
Prosecutor Barnes couldn't even approach the witness, Mr. Blanks, without gagging. I mean,
yeah, because I'm so sitting here thinking, disgusted. Oh, that makes me want to throw up.
In open court, he's saying these things. That Taishika was performing sex acts on him that night.
No, and sir.
All this stuff. There, first of all, there was no evidence of anything sexual, which I thought.
Right.
Here's what I thought in my pea brain mind. I didn't know. I thought that sexual crimes are more often driven by strangers because we see men killing their wives, wives killing their husbands, and there's not really a sexual component there. We don't hear of it very often.
Okay.
That's what I was thinking. So I thought the whole time I'm doing this research, it's Alonza, definitely right. Him. He wouldn't rape her and then kill her. He just wanted to kill her, get her out of the picture, right? Yeah. But that's seems actually logical. Not true. Mm-hmm. I did some research and it's actually not true. There's no evidence to support that. It's mainly strangers involved in these sexual crimes against people. It happens all the time.
Mm.
We just don't hear about it very often.
Right.
Anyway, I thought that was interesting. But that being said, there was nothing sexual that
to
happened.
Link him.
Right.
Or, yeah.
There was no... Like, I don't know if there was a rape kit performed, but there was no evidence to suggest that there had been a sexual assault. She was clothed, you know, she didn't look like she had been redressed, nothing like that. So yeah, he says they hooked up, messed around, and he left. And that wasn't the first time.
Oh,
like,
please.
That wasn't the first time that they'd done stuff like that.
Whatever.
And he said, you know, y'all got it right the first time when you arrested Alonza. That was part of his defense.
Okay, so
part of his defense was that my DNA was there because of this.
Right.
The other one was like, well, look, y'all arrested this guy and look at all the evidence you have against him. I think the jury was just as disgusted as everyone else in the room with his display. In her closing statements, Prosecutor Barnes held a painful 4-minute period of silence so that the jurors could be certain that those 4 minutes was plenty of time.
Mm-hmm.
Every single second was a moment that he could have stopped what he was doing.
Yeah.
But they were going for first degree murder.
Yeah.
Intent. Planned.
Yeah.
With every bit of pressure, every minute, every second that passed, he was intending to kill her.
Even with the threats made.
Even with the threats made, he was going to kill somebody.
Right. And she just happened to be the victim of this monster.
Yeah. The jury agreed. And 2 years after her murder in 2006, they found Richard Blanks guilty of first degree murder. His sentence was life with the possibility of parole. But it doesn't exactly matter what his sentence was.
Okay.
Because in November of 2008, Richard's conviction was overturned.
What? Don't make me mad right now. Don't do this
Sam,
to me.
Sam, we're getting to the good part. Sit down.
Yeah, lay down.
They found that the prosecutor's questioning of the defendant was unlawful. She asked him about conversations that he had had with his attorney.
Oh, no.
And they were saying that she violated his attorney-client privilege by asking him those questions. They also said that she was hostile while asking him questions, which most prosecutors are when there's a defendant on the stand who's lying and being disgusting. And I listened to some of the questioning and it seems pretty standard to me. I mean, I've definitely seen worse.
Oh, wow.
There were objections made to some of the things she asked. A lot were overruled. Some were sustained. But that's what objections are for.
Right.
In a court of law. That's what a judge is for. Exactly. Is to rule on these objections. But now you have this Maryland Court of Appeals saying, no, you know what? Actually, some of those questions were violating his attorney-client privilege. And
I just don't.
They just overturned his conviction.
I just don't like appeals like this where it's just like you can say whatever. Yeah.
It's so, I think that's so ambiguous because
absolutely.
Really, what she was asking was this story that you're giving me now, mm-hmm. this whole thing about you hooking up with her. Is this something you prepared with your attorney beforehand? Like basically saying, you've never mentioned this.
Right. She wasn't asking what he told them per se.
Well, exactly. She was like, did you go over this? Like, did you tell your attorney this? Is this something that you went over with your attorney? Did he tell you to say this today? Like, and so I know what she was getting at. She was getting at the fact that this was brand new to everybody. Everybody was like,
you can't just come up here and say this.
You can't just, okay, Casey Anthony.
Right.
You can't just bombshell in the middle of court.
Oh, so disgusting.
Her wild defense.
Mm-hmm.
Don't even start me on that. So anyway, poor Prosecutor Barnes. Yeah. She's like, I've done like 500 trials, thousands of cases, and I've never in my life had something like this happen.
Oh, yeah.
So she was very disappointed in herself. She felt like she'd let the family down.
No.
But they took him to trial again.
No.
The second trial was moved to a new county because the defense petitioned for a change of venue. I guess they were hoping for a different outcome and finding a whole bunch of new people that didn't know this disgusting dirtbag. And there was a new prosecutor because of the snafu with Michelle Barnes. I still don't think she did anything wrong, but I'm nobody. So this new jury was given the same defense. It was Alonza Dennis. And they presented all the evidence that convinced us all in the beginning that it was him.
This provides reasonable doubt.
Exactly.
Blah, blah, blah.
All they need is reasonable doubt. Right. They don't even need to prove that it was someone else.
Ugh.
But the state played that 911 tape. That tape that in the beginning kind of seemed fake. But now, in hindsight, they could hear the pain and the devastation in Alonza's voice as he begged for someone to hurry up and get there.
Oh.
He said, it's my baby's mom.
Oh, that's
please
so sad.
Hurry up. You could tell that he was pleading for someone to come. He didn't know. I mean, he didn't know to the extent. I don't know if he lifted the pillow and saw her or not.
Oh, geez.
I don't know. But he was terrified. He was crying. He was in disbelief. They really wanted to humanize Alonza, mm-hmm. to take away whatever little bit of doubt that the defense had sewed in there. And what do we say about circumstantial evidence? DNA trumps circumstantial evidence. Mm-hmm. Circumstantial can be damning.
Right.
DNA wins.
Yeah.
What is it? A flush? DNA? The river? I don't know. Poker? I don't know. Anyway, Lena. ace beats a two. Two beats a three. I mean, a three beats a two.
Yeah.
Anyway, DNA. So it was the DNA. The DNA convinced this jury again to find Richard Blanks guilty of first degree murder. Due to some silliness in the state of Maryland, the maximum he could get was the same sentence he got last time.
Okay.
Life with parole. As he was let out of the courtroom, he said, "Don't worry, I'll be out." And Tashika's best friend, Danielle, stood up and said, "Not in this lifetime, you won't."
No.
Danielle cringed when this depraved monster said that Tashika would touch him in any way,
that
shape,
is
or
disgusting.
Form. She knew Tashika like the back of her hand.
To talk about someone like that and they can't even defend themselves because you took their life.
Smearing the victim. Even just repeating it feels gross.
Yeah.
But Danielle knew Tashika from the years they had spent together at Cambridge South Dorchester High School and dreaming about their futures when they graduated in 1999.
Mm-hmm.
She'd realized her dream of helping people as a nurse's aide, and she got to be a mother. But it wasn't long enough.
No.
She wasn't done. So many more lives could have been better because of knowing her, if they only had the chance.
Mm-hmm.
Her family clings to the little piece that they still have left of her, which is her son.
Yeah.
Who her mom, Diane, says looks just like Tashika.
Really? Yeah. Oh. So sweet.
And that's all I've got for you.
I mean, wow. She gave so much to this world. She wanted to give so much to this world. She gave us her son. And so I hope he does great things, and I'm sure he will follow in her footsteps. I mean, that would be not to be a nurse, but to just do have
he could
goals.
Be a nurse.
He could.
He could be a doctor. He could be whatever.
I'm just saying he doesn't have to be exactly what she was, but I'm sure he will have goals just like she did.
Definitely. I mean, it sounds like they come from a strong family, and it's just so sad. It's just,
well, kudos to those investigators who did the right thing. And
I know. Bravo. Bravo.
Yeah. Thank you for telling her story. Rest in peace.
Fly high, Angel.
Well, that was great. Let's do it again sometime.
Let's do it. See you next week, guys.
Bye.
Bye now. Thank you for listening to Cousins on Crime. Get connected with us by becoming a free member on our Patreon. Or for just $5 a month, you'll have access to bonus episodes, discussion groups, and much more. If you can't afford $5 a month, we get it. Inflation, am I right? Please consider leaving us a positive review and rating wherever you listen.
And don't forget merch. Support our podcast and show the love by sporting t-shirts with our latest designs, or grab an evidence bag to keep the chain of custody for all your valuables. Don't forget to follow our show on your favorite streaming app so you never miss an episode, and get photos and updates on our Instagram at Cousins on Crime Podcast or our Cousins on Crime Facebook page. Have a case suggestion? Email us at cousinsoncrime@gmail.com.
Are you hot? Well, my pits always sweat.
Mine too.
I can never find a deo that works. I mean, it'll work for like a week and then it'll stop working.
I remember you saying that.
Yeah.
Have you tried Dove Advanced Care?
No.
Try it.
I'm currently using Secret Aluminum Free.
Yeah. Advanced Care has been the best for me. I mean, I still sweat a little, but not as much.
I'm going to give it a whirl.
Okay.
Okay. And that's armpits with Candace and Lina.
Please put that on there.